Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama Peches. We're starting at the very top of the Amud. Special thank you to Stuart Silverman for covering while I was in Eretz Yisrael. Much appreciated. We are now going off from the Mishnah. Mishnah says that when you do Chavala, in other words, 8th parak of Baba Kama, we're going over what happens when you go ahead and you assault somebody else and you damage somebody else. So what do you have to do? You have to pay. You have to pay for the damages. This is a Mesechta dedicated to the payment for damages. But up until now, we've been talking about property damage for the first 7 prakim, and then we get to the 8th parak of the Masechta. So we're talking about bodily damage. So in the event that you hurt somebody and cause bodily damage to an individual, so what do you do? So you have to pay. First dapim of the parak, everyone here remembers, is that although the Torah puts it in unbelievably graphic terms, what do you do when you knock somebody's eye out? So you get your eye knocked out. Ayin tachas ayin, says the pasuk, but shein tachas shein, regel tachas regel. So good. So the Torah puts it in graphic terms, but that's graphic terms. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is that you pay. Okay. And if you remember, the first 2 blot of the perek went over how exactly we know that the Torah, even though it uses the terms of ayin tachas ayin, it doesn't mean ayin tachas ayin, but rather it means mammon. So that's our introduction to chavala. But then on top of that, not only do you have to pay, but you have to pay how many different types of payments? 5 different types of payments. So aside from the nezek, aside from the actual damage that you've done, and how that damage gets assessed, so I find, by the way, just parenthetical note, I just find that the assessment of bodily damage is perhaps one of the more difficult topics in which to cover. In other words, how do you put a value on damaging somebody? Okay, it's a right in contemporary law, in American law, that's it's not easy to put a number on it, to put a dollar figure on it, but people do. Right. In halacha, so there is obviously it's a dollar amount, so you have to put a dollar figure on it. In terms of the categories of how you assess the damage, there are 5 different categories in how they're going to get assessed. So in other words, you pay for the nezek, you pay for the actual damage, and then on top of that, you also pay for tsar, you pay for pain, you pay for ripui, the medical bills, you pay for shevis, that's disability, and you pay boshas, and you're going to pay for embarrassment as well if there's embarrassment. Okay, embarrassment is a 5th category, and as we've discussed, I mean, we didn't discuss it because I was on break. But in other words, but the daf discussed it. Daf goes on without me. So boshes is an unusual category. It's really its own separate category with its own set of rules. Okay, and if you've been keeping up with the daf, so you understand what I'm saying. But regardless, so there are 5 different categories in which you have to pay. That's what we've been discussing here in this 8th parak of the Masechta. So what happens now when you go ahead and you damage an Eved Kanani? So you have to make the payments. Eved Kanani is a person. And so when you damage an Eved Kanani, so you're going to have to make these payments. Okay, fine. And in the Mishnah, what we learned together is that when you go ahead and you do Chavala to an Eved Kanani, you have to make the 5 payments. And Rav Yehuda says yes, but not all 5. Shitas Rav Yehuda is that for the Eved Kanani, you're going to be paying 4 of the 5 payments. You're not paying Boshas. Why? So to quote the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Ein la'avad in boshes. So they don't have boshes. Okay. On one hand, I understand it. On the other hand, I am going to struggle a little bit to put words to that, what exactly that means. But regardless, in other words, that shita is Rabbi Yehuda. So there is no boshes to an Eved Kanani, and as a result of that, you don't pay that payment. The other 4, you do pay, but not boshes. The Gemara goes and discusses. Our Amud Aleph of today's daf, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda. So why should that be? So Amar Kraki Nasavan Shimyachtav Ish Vaachiv. So we go to one of the psukim in the Torah that describes Chavala. 2 people are fighting. So when the Torah describes that 2 people are fighting, it says Ish Vaachiv, a man and his brother. And now the Gemara is going into halachic mode because obviously that's what we do. So over here, when we say Achiv, the Torah is using it not just as a description of their friends, but in other words, they're brothers, but halachic brothers. Mishi yeshlo achva. Yasa evet sheinlo achva. In other words, when it comes to achva, so included in achva is all Jews, but an evet kanani does not categorically fit into this category of achva. So v'rabanan, so achva b'mitzvos, and the chachamim will tell you no. In other words, that an evet kanani does categorically fit into achva because what is going to be the criteria of achva? The Chachamim will tell you the criteria of Achva is that I'm Chayv in Mitzvos, and so is an Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani is Chayv in Mitzvos. Now, granted, he's not Chayv in the same number of Mitzvos that I am, But in other words, it's just a handful of mitzvahs, a little more than a handful. But it's a small number of mitzvahs that differentiate between a Jew and a Nevekanani. But in other words, but he's chayv in mitzvahs, just like I am. And so therefore, since I'm chayv in mitzvahs, he's chayv in mitzvahs, so we are, halachically, achim. So what we have over here is what seems to be a pretty fundamental machlokus between the Chacham and Rav Yehuda, whether or not Nevekanani falls under this category of achva, and what exactly is the criteria of achva. So according to the Chacham, mitzvos is a criteria, and therefore they're achim. According to Rav Yehuda, I'm not really sure what the criteria is, but they're not achim. In other words, they are just simply fundamentally different, and they don't fall under this category of achva, and therefore they're not going to fall under the category of boshes. Yeah, yeah. So Ella me'atel Rav Yehuda. So fine. So where do we? So we are right now on what seems to be a pretty important fault line between the Chacham and Rav Yehuda, whether or not Nevekanani is going to be in this halachic category of achva. According to the Chacham, they are. According to Rav Yehuda, they're not. And now the Gemara is going to basically discuss for the first half of today's daf, really. So let's find other places in the Torah where we need achim and see, are avadim included, excluded? Meaning, let's take a survey. So the Gemara starts off with the following: Elamiata l'Rabbi Yehuda zamem me'eved lo yargo diksiva sitzam lo kasher zamem lasos le'achiv. So over here now, let's say I have zamem me'eved kanani. Eved kanani violates one of these sermon in the Torah, and let's say it's a capital offense. Okay. So now what's going to happen is that when you have witnesses testifying against the Eved Kanani, so we know that the Torah says that if they go ahead and fabricate and lie and they're caught as a aid zomimim, so what do we do to them? Whatever they conspired. But the Pasuk says, Vasisam lo kasher zamam lasos le'achiv. Now according to Rav Yehuda, Eved Kanani doesn't qualify as achiv. So that means to say that I cannot go ahead and flip the din on the eight zomim, because the Torah says it's le'achiv, and according to Rav Yehuda, they categorically do not belong over there. So the Gemara sidesteps this question. The Gemara says, look, I know the Torah by eight zomim uses the words achiv, but at the same time, however, keep reading in the psukim. The Torah goes on to say that what do you do is that you eliminate the ra mikerbecha. You have Adam who came into court and conspired and lied and fabricated and they falsely accused somebody of a capital crime. So what the Torah says is that you know what you're going to do with these Adam Zomimim? Uvi arta hara mikerbecha. In other words, you have to eliminate them. In other words, what they did is, I'll use graphic language, but what they did is unforgivable. And so the Torah says you have to get rid of them. In other words, if the accusation was a capital crime. So now what the Torah says is that you have to get rid of them. So you're right. According to Rav Yehuda, they don't fall under the category of achim, but nevertheless, v'yarta rami kerbecha. So elam yata l'rabbana neve yei kashal amalchus. Okay, now we're going to go in the other direction. According to the Chachamim, and neve kanani does fall under the category of achim. So that means to say that according to the Chachamim, and neve kanani should qualify to become a king. And we know that's simply not true. Meaning the Pasuk says, the Gemara doesn't quote the Pasuk, Mikarev Achecha Tasim Alecha Melech. So who's eligible to become a king? Achecha. Any one of the Achim. And according to the Chachamim, an Eved Kanani is falling under the category of Achim, and therefore should qualify to be king. But the Gemara says, but we just know it's not true. It's a given. So Amri L'Tamech Tichshi L'Ach L'Divrei HaKol. So the Gemara is, I'm sorry, let's do that again, let's do it correctly. Amri L'Tamech Tichshi L'Ach Ger L'Divrei HaKol. So the Gemara says, well, look, as far as the king is concerned, you know it's fundamentally different. Because, consider, can a ger become a melech? Now, a ger is certainly achim. Meaning, once you convert and become part of Klal Yisrael, you are falling under the category of achim. Can a ger become a melech? No. So the Gemara says, so you know already by king, there's a different set of standards. A ger is certainly achim, but can't be a king. So Allah... So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to just simply say is that by a king, the standards for to become a king, the eligible candidate who can become a king is obviously just different. It's mimuvchar sheba'achecha. Even within Achim, there's still going to be an exclusivity of who can become a king and who cannot. Ger can't become a king, and it goes without saying an Eved Kanani cannot become a king, even if I file Eved Kanani under the category of Achim, can't become a king. Elamiata, we are continuing. So the Rabbanan Yei Eved Kashal Eidos Tichsiv Inei Eicheker Eicheker Ana Be'achiv. So according to the Chachamim, where an Eved Kanani falls under Achim, so they should become an aid, right? The pasuk says Inei Eicheker Eicheker Ana Be'achiv, and Eved Kanani falls under that category. And again, it's untenable. We know, excuse me, we know an Eved Kanani cannot become a king. So Amar Ula Eidos Lamatzis Amar. Asya Eidos Bekavacham Misha Maisha Shivru Lava Bekal Psula Eidos Eved Shein Rai Lava Bekal Eino Din Psula Eidos. So the Gemara says, okay, but the reason why an Eved Kanani cannot become an aid is because we're going to start with an Isha. Now an Isha who is allowed to marry into the Jewish people, which kind of self-evident, meaning that's half the Jewish population, and you can't have marriage without a woman. So, but the point is that an Isha is mutar laval bekal and can't become an aid. An Eved Kanani who is also laval bekal certainly can't be an aid. In other words, that's a kavachomer. It's a very straightforward kavachomer. So malaisha shekein en arar lamila. So tamar bevish arar lamila. The Gemara says, yeah, it's a good kavachomer, but with a pircha. There's going to be a fundamental difference between Isha and Eved Kanani. Isha, not eligible for Mila. Not in the mitzvah of Mila, and Eved Kanani is in the mitzvah of Mila. Okay. This line of the Gemara, that an Isha is not in the mitzvah of Mila, needs much more explanation, beyond the scope of the daf. Meaning, an Isha, she doesn't get a Mila because she simply, it's a biological issue. But obviously, though, the Gemara is telling us is that fundamentally there are differences between men and women vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Mila. So you're right, a woman can't serve as Eidos. And you're right, from a psula kahal standpoint, an Eved Kanani is less than a woman, obviously. But the Eved Kanani's got a leg up on the woman, and that Eved Kanani shayach in the mitzvah of Mila. So katan yochiach. Sheyeshna b'mila, pasul eidus. The Gemara says, yeah, but a katan is shayach in the mitzvah of mila, and a katan can't be an aid. So the Gemara says, mala katan, sheyena b'mitzvos, tamar b'eved, shu b'mitzvos. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I can't compare katan and eved. A katan is not chayv and mitzvos. Yes, of course, there's chinuch, but that's not a chiv and mitzvos, that's chinuch. It's something totally separate. So in other words, a katan now is not shayach in mitzvos, and eved is shayach in mitzvos, so I can't compare a katan and an eved. So Isha tochich sheyeshna b'mitzvos p'sul al eidus and chazar adin lo rizek rizeh v'lo rizek rizeh and atzad shavash b'hem shekein ena b'chol ha-mitzvos and p'sul al ha-id afani avias ha-eved shein b'chol ha-mitzvos p'sul al ha-id. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do is our standard mahatzad. We'll take an Isha, we'll take a katan, and yes, individually, if I put them side by side in eved, they're not comparable. But what if I do? If I take the collective of Isha and Katan, they can't serve as Edim. I know individually they can't be compared, but collectively, what I'll do is I'll just simply look at the common denominator between the two. Each one of them has got something above of an Eved Kanani, and they can't become Edim. An Eved Kanani can't be an Ed as well if I take the common denominator. Gemara says, even as a common denominator, meaning they're still, both of them, fundamentally different than an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani is an adult male. A Katan is not an adult male, and an Isha is not a male. So in other words, even through the common denominator, I can't make my point. So Ela Tesi Megazlan. So the Gemara says, okay, so how about this? A Gazlan can't be an aid. If a Gazlan can't be an aid, an Eved Kanani can't be an aid. The Gemara says, that's funny. And not only funny, but not comparable. Mala Gazlan shekein masiv garmelo. Tamar be'eved shekein masiv garmelo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but a Gazlan can't be an aid because of his actions, not because of his status. An Eved can't be an aid because of his status, not because of his actions. So Ela tasting me Gazlan umechan mehanach. So the Gemara says, okay, what we'll do is as follows: we'll take a Gazlan and either we'll work with an Isha or we'll work with a Katan, one of the two, and we'll create a Sada Shava. In other words, we'll use a common denominator of a Gazlan. And you pick whichever one, either an Isha or a Katan. And I'll just simply use the Tzada Shava. In other words, with using the common denominator between the two, each one individually, I can't make a kavachomer individually with either one of those in a nev kanani, but the collective of a gazlan and an, either an isha or a katan, I'll use the common denominator between the two. They can't be an aid. Certainly a nev kanani cannot be an aid. That was, admittedly, a long walk to get us to the point where, how do I know that a nev kanani can't be an aid? Meaning, are they included in achva according to the chachamim? Yes. Well, once they're included, so then, once included, they should be able to serve as aidim. And meanwhile, we know they can be aidim. And by the way, they can't be aidim. How do we know that? We have Mishnayos that said beferish. They can't be aidim. All right, I didn't make the point clear. I just did. Anyway, they can't be aidim. How do I know that? So the Gemara has just admittedly gone through a complicated step-by-step process of, we have some sort of precedent that we can construct. It's complicated because we can't use one precedent. We have to use two. We have to use the common denominator, and the Gemara really struggled in terms of how to make that tzadah shava. The Gemara is going to go with a second approach. How do I know that an Eved Kanani cannot serve as an aid? We're going to cite a pasuk from Kiseitse. A father cannot die al habanim, through his son. Now, the simple pshat of that pasuk is that a son can't testify against a father. That's a simple pshat. What the Gemara now is going to advance is that beyond the simple pshat, we're going to go one more pshat in, a drasha, if you will. So, lo yimsu al pi avoshein lehem chiyus banim. Who can't you die through? Meaning, who can't testify about you? An av who doesn't have a ben. Meaning, by an Eved Kanani, there's no yichus. There is no connection between father and son. In other words, by a Jew, obviously, there's yichus. By an Eved Kanani, there is no yichus. And that's what the pasuk means. And as a result of that, a Eved Kanani who does not have yichus, who does not have av to ben, so he can't testify about you. That's how we're going to darshan the pasuk. What was wrong with Pashup Pshat? If all the Torah wanted to teach us was Pashup Pshat, the Torah would have used the words Binehem, which would have clearly indicated that a father cannot die through the testimony of his son. The fact that it says Avos Abanim and not Binehem allows now for this additional drasha. So my banim shmamina lo yimsu al pi avos she'in lahem chiyus banim. Good. So we have now this additional drasha of chiyus banim. Good. So the elamiata banim lo yimsu avos hachinami lo yimsu al pi banim she'in lahem chiyus avos. So ela ger hachinami de pasal eidus. So the Gemara says, okay, second half of the pasuk. Second half of the pasuk tells us that a son can't die over the father. And now, within the structure that we are suggesting, more than suggesting, but within the structure, so that should mean that if there's no yichus between the son and his father, that's a description of a ger. Once a ger converts, he is halachically disconnected from his father. So it now that would mean that if that I can't have a ger going and testifying. That would be the conclusion. However, that's an incorrect conclusion. We already know a ger can testify. Amri hachi hashta. So ger nehidein lo chayis lamala lamati yishol chayis lafuke evin and lo chayis lamala vol lamata. Gemara says, yeah, but still it is different. It's fundamentally different when it comes to Eved Kanani. There is no chiyus in either direction. And Eved Kanani is not halachically connected to his son, nor is he halachically connected to his father. There is simply no yichus. But when it comes to a ger, you're right. He has no yichus to his father, but obviously, the ger has yichus to his son. Once the ger converts, he's a full-fledged Jew, and now his son is going to have yichus to him, to the father. Good. So where are we right now? So we have just darshan the pasuk that tells us that a Eved Kanani cannot be serving as an aid, and this is now approach number two. It's based on the pasuk of lo yumsu avos al banim, and allowing us to darshan not only the simple pshat of a father can't testify over the testimony of his son, but in addition to that, you can't die over the testimony of someone who doesn't have yichus, i.e. an Eved Kanani. And when we say doesn't have yichus, we mean both going up and going down. No connection to the father, no connection to the son. And then the Gemara just wraps up How do we know we're saying the right pshat in the pasuk? Isakadatcha ger pasul eidos, meaning. Let's say the Torah wanted to teach us that ger is pasul eidos, meaning that's not the conclusion. That's not correct. But let's say for a moment, entertain for just a moment that that in fact is the case. So the to which the. So what would the Torah have done? Here's what the Torah would have done. Lichtav rechmana lo yimsu avos abneihem lechadar minan lo yimsu be'edos abanim. So and v'nichtav rechmana abanim lo yimsu al avos shema min astrei. Torah would have said b'neihem, and then the Torah would have said avos, and there we would have arrived at two conclusions. Chad lo yimsu abanus be'edos avos. Number one, a son cannot be put to death over the testimony of his father, meaning family members can't testify over one for another. And idach lo yimsu api banim she'en lahem chiyus avos. And eved nafkalei bekavachomer migir. And then we also would have said that you can't die over the testimony of someone who is disconnected from his father, i.e. a ger. That's what the Torah would have said. And then once the ger is excluded from being an aid, it's then a no-brainer kal v'chomer that in Eved Kenani would be pasul as well. Because ma'ger delamalahu dein l'chias av alamati yesh l'chias pasul eidos avos. She'ein l'chias v'alamalah v'alamati enu din she'e pasul eidos. If a ger who is only disconnected going up but not going down, if he's pasul eidos, certainly in Eved Kenani would be pasul eidos. Ela mitakas rechman lo yumsu avos abanim demashma. Lo yumsu api avashin lochis banim shmamina evashin lochis olamal volamata who the pasul eidos of a ger kevin diesh lochis lamata kashal eidos. What the Torah is telling us is that no, in order to be disqualified to eidos, you have to be disconnected in both directions, both going up and going down, i.e., an Eved Kenani, not a ger. Vichi tema, and we're almost done with this thread, and I admit this is a complicated thread of Gemara. Chi tema lichto rechmanu vanim lo yumsu al avosehem. Well, why wouldn't the Torah just simply use the expression of avosehem, meaning that a son should not die over the testimony of his father? So why would the Torah use the language of banim lo yimso al avos, the mashma lo yimso al pi banim she'ein lem chiyus avos, giving us the we now know erroneous conclusion that a ger can't testify. So I did the kasuv lo yimsu avos abanim. So kasuv nami abanim lo yimsu avos. So the Gemara says, yeah, I know. I know it gives us a bit of a false impression, but basically symmetrical purposes. So it's interesting. This idea that we want symmetry, we say that throughout the Mishnayos. Meaning, right, Mishnah after Mishnah, sometimes the Mishnah gives us a bit of a false impression. But in other words, but the Mishnah really wants symmetry. And because the Mishnah wants symmetry so much, so therefore the Mishnah is going to write in a symmetrical style, even though sometimes we walk away with a somewhat false impression. The Gemara has just done the same thing for a pasuk in the Torah, meaning I know if the Torah says, in fact, not only if, but the Torah does actually say, lo yumsu avos abanim, the Torah also says, lo yumsu banim al avos. And the impression you get is that a ger can't testify. Only for symmetrical purposes does the Torah do that. The Torah is really interested in telling us that the only one who can't testify is an Eved Kenani who does not have yichus, neither above, going up, or going down. That's really the intent of the Torah. It also gives us the impression that a ger can't testify, but that's not correct. And the only reason why the Torah wrote that in such a style is just for the purposes of symmetry. Okay. Ad Kan, that's basically Amud Aleph of today's daf. Okay, that was a long walk. Where are we right now? Nice and easy summary of the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Baba Kama Peches Amud Aleph, and that a Eved Kenani cannot testify. Right? In other words, and it's funny, by the way, that's a conclusion. It's a Mishnah, meaning I don't need an entire Amud to tell us that. It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah. It's a Mishnah of Sanhedrin. It's a Mishnah. But the reason why we have spent so much time discussing this point is because according to the Chachamim, Eved do fall under the category of Achva. In other words, an Eved Kenani is in fact incorporated in this category of he is your brother. He's an Achim B'mitzvos. And so therefore, and the reason why we know that is, well, not we know that. The reason why the Chachamim subscribe to that is because in the event that you are Mevayesh and Neve Kanani, you have to pay for the Busha. No. Why? Because the Pasuk over there uses the words Achim, and an Neve Kanani is included in that. Once we're there, Edus seems to be a function of Achva, and meanwhile Neve Kanani cannot serve as an aid, which then brought us to an entire Amud of Gemara explaining, yeah, but we know that an Eved can't be an aid. Why? So either approach number one or approach number two, right? In other words, the Gemara just spent an entire Amud giving us an explanation. Just one more point on this piece of Gemara, and then we move on, and that is Tosfos. Tosfos over here. Take a look at Tosfos. Yehei. It is Tema. How you feeling? Bechol Duchta Gezereshav Delala Meisha. Tosfos, bomb question. Tosfos says, you know, throughout Shas, we know an Eved Kanani via Gezereshav is compared to a woman. La Meisha. So, numerous occasions, the Gemara says, how do I know an Eved Kanani? The Gemara in Kedushin. We did not so long ago. How do I know that an Eved Kanani is chayav in mitzvos of the Torah? La Meisha. We have Gezereshav. A woman's chayiv in mitzvahs, Neve Kanani is chayiv in mitzvahs. In fact, Neve Kanani is chayiv in the same exact number of mitzvahs that a woman is. Why? I know it through Gzeira Shava. And so Tosfos says, once I have Gzeira Shava equating an Neve Kanani and a woman, what was the exercise of today's daf? Or at least the Amud Aleph of today's daf? The Gemara spent an entire Amud going over, you know, an Neve Kanani can't testify. Why? Right? See Baba Kama Pei Chesem Ad Aleph. Tosfos is wondering, why did the Gemara just spend an entire Amud? Meaning, once we have the La Gzereshava equating an Eved Kanani and a woman can't testify, and Eved Kanani can't testify as well, shouldn't that kind of end the discussion abruptly? And our Amud Aleph of today's daf was not abrupt. There are numerous answers to this question. Basically, what you have to think about, in other words, I'm not going to go through the Tosfos, but
Maybe low means that he has mitzvahs.
Yeah, right. Very good. Very good.
You've got something.
Very good. Okay. Good. And correct. And what you right? Perfect. Oh, so good. And then what you have to do is you have to think about like the Gezeira Shava of la. What is its purpose? What is it coming to teach us? Meaning, although it is equating the two, but it's not a full equation. It doesn't mean that they're on equal footing. It means limited equation. Okay, perfect. Okay, we continue. Cherishot v'katan, we're on the bottom of Peches Amad Aleph, and now we are basically turning now to the Amad Beis. So, Cherishot v'katan, begas on Ra. So what happens whenever you have a confrontation with Cherishot v'katan, so it's going to be no good. Because in the event that they damage you, so there's no recourse. You can't go to them, and you can't. In other words, they're not going to be liable for the damages that they do. Okay? And so, pigiyas on ra. So, anytime that you're going to have a confrontation, I mean confrontation. I don't mean verbal. I mean, you know, financial claim. You're going to get stuck. And the Mishnah says the same thing is going to be true with Eved Nisha. Okay. So, which is that in Eved Nisha, if they do chavala, so they are going to be pater. Okay. The Gemara is going to be discussing now what of a woman who is married, and now Gemara is going to have the following discussion. Before we go, let's start with the Gemara. Okay, we all know this, but let me just spell it out, speak it out, and so that making the Gemara really straightforward and easy to understand. Okay, a woman gets married. So can she go into the marriage with assets? The answer, of course she can. In other words, a woman is a person who can own, buy, sell, v'chule. However, once she gets married, so the marriage creates financial obligations, husband to wife, wife to husband. Okay, in other words, they are now going to be interconnected, interwoven. Okay. So, and that includes financially. And when we went through Seder Nashim, we went over this point again and again. But for our purposes right now, the only thing that we just need to highlight is the following. And that is that if she goes into the marriage with assets, so those assets can either be labeled and identified as Nechse Tzon Barzel or Nechse Milok. For our purposes today, I'm only going to be focusing on Nechse Malug. It'll just make the discussion of our Gemara much easier. So let's say she goes into a marriage with assets. She's got, let's say, properties. She inherited from her father. Whatever. It doesn't matter how she got them. So let's say she has properties going into the marriage. So now, those properties can be labeled and assigned as Nechse Malug, which means that during the course of the marriage, so she is still going to be the owner of those items. Who is the name on the title of those assets? Her name. She is the owner of the guf, but the husband now is going to be the owner of the peros. He's going to be able to take all dividends. Okay, in a modern example, meaning, granted, by the way, when we have marriages nowadays, we don't operate with these with this halacha construct. But in other words, in a case where a woman were to go in with stocks into the marriage, so all the dividends now can be enjoyed by the husband during the marriage, during the course of the marriage. So she has kinyan haguf, and the husband has kinyan haperos. Okay. And so we are going to have one of those very classic discussions in the Gemara, which is, okay, so in the course of this marriage where she only has the kinyan haguf, she doesn't have the kinyan haperos, so what if in the event that she sells her kinyan haguf? How does that sale look if and when she were to go ahead and sell the kinyan haguf when she doesn't have the kinyan haperos? Okay. Simple, straightforward question. It sounds familiar. It should sound familiar because the Gemara, a number of places throughout Shas, has variations of this discussion. And today's Amud Beis, we're just going to have another version of this discussion. So if it sounds familiar, it should. We've discussed this before. So we are going to start off with the following story. Okay. A little bit complicated, but it's not. In other words, Rabbi Abba's wife. Okay? So who happens to have a son by the name of Rav Shmuel. So Kasvina Lenichse, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Abba Bra. So what does she do? She does the following. And that is that she has assets. She is married. So she only has the Nichse, the Kinyan Aguf. She doesn't have the Kinyan Aperos. And what does she do? She basically gifts over all of her assets over to her son. And then what happens is, Basar Deshchiva. And then what happens after that is she dies. Now, when a wife dies, who is first in line to inherit her assets? The answer, of course, is her husband. Okay. However, just to complicate matters, before she died, she wrote over all of those assets over to her son. Who is going to be now the rightful, I'm going to say the word inheritor, but in other words, who's the owner of those assets? Let's say it simple. Who owns those assets now? Well, has she not written over the assets to her son? The husband would, of course, inherit all those assets. But while she was married, she wrote them over to her son. And so now the argument is, her son now should inherit it, right? In other words, she gifted it over to him, so the son should now acquire it, right?
He already acquired it.
Huh?
Already.
Right. Better state. You said it better than I did. In other words, he already acquired it by the fact that she wrote it over to her son. So.
Does he get the payers?
Azol, let's see it together. So now we're on the Amud Beis. Azol Rav Shmuel Bar Abba Kamed Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Ukmei Benechzei. So Rav Shmuel Bar Abba feels that now he has a legitimate case. He has a taina. He's the owner of it. His mother wrote over all the assets over to him. Good, gifted it to him, and she did it in writing. He has the document. So he now goes over. Now it's interesting, by the way. He goes to Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba. Right now I'm. Okay, they're right. they're not brothers. Okay, even though their fathers share the same name, the reason why I say it so confidently is because you can't adjudicate the case of your brother. So he went to a Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba. It happens to be the dayan in the community, and Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba says, "Mazel tov, the assets are yours." Azo Rabbi Abba. Now it happens to be that the husband now goes over to his own dayan. Amar lemilsa kamei de Rav Oshia, Azar Rabbi Oshia, Amar kamei de Rav Yehuda, Amar lehachi Amar Shmuel Aisha shemachar benichse melug bechaye bala umesa haba motzi miyad alakuchos. And so Rabbi Abba, the husband, is now going to go to his posik. Now his posik happens. The question got kicked around. Eventually, Rabbi Yehuda, who quotes his Rabbi Shmuel. And remember, Rav Yehuda had two Rebbeim. He had Shmuel and he also had Rav. But anyway, he quotes his Rabbi Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda says, no, nothing doing. you, Rabbi Abba, are the rightful inheritor of that property, and you're going to get that property. And it's not going to be the son. No. Okay, now, spoiler alert, why not? I know we have a lot more of the Amud Beis to go through, but spoiler alert. Why does Shmuel say that? Because in the institution of marriage, so the husband is always going to be viewed as the first one in line. In other words, it's what's called Takanas Usha. Takanas Usha teaches us that when the husband stands to inherit his wife's assets, so he is considered the Lokeach Rishon. So, I just spoiled an entire Amud of Gemara. But in other words, but it's just helpful to think about it that way. In other words, this is really a predicate of the there's a rabbinic institution that whenever it comes to the husband, he's first in line. Good. That's the spoiler. That's coming up at the end of the Amud. But what I'm going to ask you now to do is that now that you know that information, if you can, please forget it for just a moment. And what the Gemara is going to entertain, at least for the remainder of today's daf, is maybe this is just a question of kinyan aperus, kinyan aguf. What's stronger? What's better? In other words, when the wife is married, so she has a kinyan aguf. The husband during that point of marriage has a kinyan aperus. Okay. So he has holdings in her assets. Kinyan aperus, holdings in her asset. So how much of a partner does it make him? He's at least, I'm using the language loosely. He's at least a junior partner. Is he a...
He has a dower interest.
Yeah, I remember you trying to explain this to me before as well. Okay. Okay. No. All right. So he's at least a junior partner. Is he, how strong is his hand in her assets? So this is what the Gemara is going to discuss. But the truth of the matter is, it's an important discussion, but ultimately, when all said and done, it really goes beyond that. So, Amru kamid Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Amru lehu, am I doing good? Yeah. No. Also Rabbi Abba, Amru lemilsa. No. I did right. I'm sorry. Okay. Amru kamid Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Amru lehu, Anamasisa Yadana. Did not. So now the matter goes back to Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Remember, he was the first posek that was asked, and he awarded all the nechasim to the son. And he said, I don't understand what is going on over here. I have a Mishnah. Did not. Hakos nechasim levno lachem oso. Habenin yocholimkor mimnei shein brishos av. V'avin yocholimkor mimnei shein ksuvin leben. Machar av mechorim ad shiyamos. And Machar Aben, Ein Lo Lokeach, Ad Shiyamosav. Okay, it's a Mishnah. And the Mishnah is, It's a Mishnah Baba Basra. The Mishnah Baba Basra says as follows. Father does the following, and that is that he writes over his estate to his son before he dies. In other words, he gives it to his son. But, in other words, he gives it to his son. In other words, he says to the son, look, I'm transferring title over to you, but, in other words, while I'm alive, so I'm going to get all the peros. It's a house. In other words, I'm transferring title over to you. I get to live in the house until I die. Okay, good. And so, a simple example of a separation of king and peros, king and aguf. King and aguf is given over to the son. King and peros is retained by the father. If the father sells the king and peros, so what can the father sell? His rights. And those rights will continue until he dies. Good, simple. What if the son sells? Now, what is the son selling? He has title. So if the son sells title, so that sale of the title, he can only sell title. The father retained the rights of the house. So when the son sells title, so all he sold was title. He can't sell rights. But when the father dies, so now whoever he sold title over is now going to be able to, in other words, take title and also take rights as well. But in other words, until the father dies, the father retains rights. So far, so good. That's the Mishnah Baba Basra. And now, let's just analyze that Mishnah for a moment. Not just a moment. Ki ma'isav mi'emiyah Yisrael lokeach. V'afagav demeis ben b'chayav lo asu lidei haben. Now, over here, what happens, and that is that when the son sells over that title, So that sale is a sale, period. And it doesn't matter what happens. Meaning, if the father died first and then the son died. Or the son died first and then the father. It doesn't matter. Meaning, the point is that when the son sells over the title, that is a valid sale, period. Why? Because the Mishnah and Baba Basra is telling us that the sale of the guf is a sale, even though the father retained the rights. Even though the father had the peris, it doesn't matter. The kinyan aguf supersedes the kinyan aperis. That's the Mishnah Baba Basra. And so Rabbi Yirmiyah says, I have a Mishnah Baba Basra. And so now let's go back to our case. Right? What did mom have? Mom had the kinyan aguf. What did the father have? Father had a kinyan aperis. What did mom do? She then transferred title over to her son. Open and shut case. Meaning when you sell the kinyan ha-guf, the sale is valid. That's the Mishnah in Baba Basra. So the Gemara says, Kerebi Shema Melakish Damer lo shna meitza ben b'chayav lo asu lidei de ben lo shna meitza ed mechayav de asu lidei ben kana lokeach de idmar. And this all operates with Reish Lakish's understanding of the Mishnah in Baba Basra. And the Gemara says, "Makar ben bechayav umesa ben bechayav." Rav Yochanan amar lo kana lokeach, Reish Lakish amar kana lokeach. And we are now entering into our fundamental machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish says that when you have kinyan aguf and you sell kinyan aguf, the sale is valid. Period. Now Rav Yochanan disagrees. Now, first, let's start with Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan amar lo kana lokeach, amar lacha ki ketani masitza makar ben lo kana lokeach, hashim asav chim aisav. Yisrael lokeach de lo mesa ben bechaya av de asuli de aben ava mesa ben bechaya av lo asuli de deben ki maisa av nami leisrael lokeach amakasavar kinyan peros ki kinyan aguf dami. Now Rav Yochanan will tell you that if the son only sold his guf and never had peros, the son does not have the right to sell the guf. Why? Because according to Rav Yochanan, the father who is holding the kinyan peiros rights, he's more than just a junior partner. Again, my terminology. You don't have to like it. But in other words, the father is a senior partner. And so therefore, the son cannot sell kinyan aguf without the agreement of his senior partner.
Even if someone's willing to buy it with those conditions?
No. Again, if there's an agreement between both partners that the sale's a sale, obviously the sale is going to be a sale. But in other words, according to Rav Yochanan, if the son only has title and the father retained rights and the father didn't co-sign on the sale, sale's not a sale.
This is according to Rav Yochanan.
And the Chizavin Lavdi Dei Zavin. And Rabbi Shimon Malakish Omer Kana Lokeach Ki Ketani Masisen Marcha Benin Lokeach Ad Shiyamosav Chimaisa Mia Yisrael Lokeach. Loshna lo mesa ben bechayav de asuli de ben loshna mesa ben bechayav de asuli de ben kana amakasaver kinyan peres lavke kinyan aguf dami ki kazavin di de kazavin. And what Reish Lakish will tell you is that I'm in fundamental disagreement. I'm telling you that even though the father retained the rights, he is nothing more than he's not even a shareholder. Right, he's not even a shareholder. He's not a junior partner. Meaning he retained rights, and that's good. Meaning as long as he's alive, he has the rights. But in terms of ownership, there's only one ownership, and that's the son. He's a title holder, and he could sell it. Now, granted, by the way, that even though he sells title, so the rights are still retained by the father. But the father cannot stop the sale. The sale goes through. And therefore, according to Reish Lakish, kinyan aperis lavke kinyan aguf. Good. Period. Wait one second. Good. Good. You have your... You have your head totally wrapped around this machlokas. I mean, you understand it. I'd say even better than I do.
What happens if the father has a wife?
Wait, before we get to the what if. The anan hashta, bein Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, bein Rabbi Yehuda, ka Rabbi Shimon Malakish Yerlehu. So, and I happen to know that in our discussion right now, where the wife wrote over title to her son, and I know that they both hold of Reish Lakish. I know they both hold of Reish Lakish. Come, Rabbi Yirmiyah ba Abba Isaka Dacha.
It goes to the father.
So right. Come, Rabbi Yirmiyah ba Abba Isaka Dacha. Kinyan peres ki kinyan aguf dami ki ma'isa ben bechayav amai Israel lokeach. So v'chi kazavin hai lav didei kazavin elav shmei mena kinyan peres lav ki kinyan aguf. I know that they both subscribe to the Shita of Reish Lakish, which means Reish Lakish is of the position that anyone who is just holding rights is not an owner. He's just holding rights. He's got payros. But that's all he has. He does not have ownership.
That's Reish or Rabbi Yochanan.
That's Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is of the position that Kinyan payros love Kinyan Aguf. So the title holder, let's just hold him 1 second. So the title holder is the exclusive owner of it. Whoever is holding rights has rights, but in other words, but not an ownership interest. And so therefore, according to Reish Lakish, so the mother's transfer should be a transfer. So
how can you say that you do homes like
yeah, the Gemara had a Mesorah, meaning an Echanami. So now
I'm asking that it goes to the father.
Okay, wait. Okay, good. We're almost there. Ajur Lakami de Rav Yehuda Amarlo Hachi Amar Shmuel. So Eino Dom le Mishnah Seinu. So the Gemara says, okay, meaning I know the Mishnah Baba Basra. I know Reish Lakish's understanding of the Mishnah Baba Basra. And I also know that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yirmiyah are passing like Reish Lakish. I know all that. And I'm telling you over here, it's different. Now, remember the seed that I planted about 15 minutes ago? Okay, now we're here. My time. I'm Rav Yosef Bishlam Itan Ipcha Kosim Nechasav La'aviv. Eka Lamif Shamina Dekinyan Peres Lav Kekinyan Aguftam Eyal Hashad Dektani Kosim Nechasav Levno Mishum Deroy Liyor Shahu. Now the Gemara is making an additional point, a separate point over here, which is that Mishum Abba Basra. Is it a real clear demonstration of Kinyan Peres Kekinyan Aguf? Or in other words, that Mishum Abba Basra is talking about the father writing it over to his son. I could argue that Mishnah Baba Basra, the father writing over to the son, you know, the son's not just Stam a person. You know, the son is going to inherit. Maybe over there, since the son is omeid, he stands to inherit, so maybe that's a stronger transfer.
Sure.
Right? You can argue that. So Amalei Abaye Atu Bra Yaris Abba Abba Lo Yaris Bra. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm not buying that point. Because, you know, father also stands to inherit the son. Meaning, if the son dies and there's no next of kin, in other words, the son doesn't have children, who's going to inherit the son? The father. So, Ella, Avrichin al Nichzim, Ibreka Ase. So, Hachinam, Avrichin al Nichzim, Achui Ase. So, the Gemara says that, you know, what they were doing when they were transferring title over is that basically what they were doing is that they were trying to create some sort of shell corporation. Yeah, all they were doing was trying to create some sort of shell corporation and protect the assets. So Ella my Eino Dom le Mishnah Senu. So let's get this straight now. So in other words, if we have everyone passing like Reish Lakish, and that Kinyan Peres is Lavka Kinyan Aguf, and when you own title, and the one who retained rights does not have an ownership interest, so then. If mom went ahead and wrote over her assets to her son, so then how could there be any? And we passing like Reish Lakish. How can you now make an argument that the husband is now going to be getting the assets? So over here, the answer is Mishum Takana Susha. Damer Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Bushitkinu, Aisha Shemach, Menechse Maluk, Bechayibala, Abba Motzi Mialukuchos. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, and that's because of Takana Susha. And what is Takana Susha? It's a special rabbinic institution, legislation that tells me that the husband is first in line. Meaning, you're right. If I just went with normal governing rules of how to look at guf versus peros, so what I'll tell you is, the one who is just holding peros is just holding rights. He only has dividends, but he is not an owner. That's the normal rules. And so therefore, whoever is the title holder can sell, gift, do whatever he wants with that asset because he is the owner. Period. End of discussion. However, marriage is different. As part of the institution of marriage, Takanas Usha. So it was a later institution that was done. The Sanhedrin was already exiled, left Yerushalayim, ten stops along the way.
Even if she brought it in before the marriage.
In other words, can you override? It's a fair question. I don't know. But in other words, the institution, the legislation that was passed by the Beis Din in Usha is that the husband, even though he only has rights, and even though normally that is not ownership, but the husband is going to be given a bump in his powers, and that he is going to be considered the Lokeach Rishon, and he's going to go ahead and inherit, And even though she transferred title over to somebody else, the husband, when if and when the wife dies, husband can go ahead and claim that asset.
It might be more because he could speak for her. He has power over.
Fair.
He has no rights, right? But she does own the asset. That problem.
But you get the first dibs. That's it.
Yep. Okay. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay. We had two parts to today's daf. First part of today's daf, so easy to summarize. An Eved Kanani, even according to the Chachamim, he falls under the category of Achim. He's an Achim b'mitzvah, but he can't be an aid. That's the Amud Aleph. Okay, that was easy. And the Amud Beis gets a little more complicated. The Amud Beis talks about a woman with her assets. She has a kinyan aguf. The husband has a kinyan aperos. Normally, we say like Reish Lakish, kinyan aperos lavka kinyan aguf. And even though you retain rights, but you're not an owner, the owner can buy. The owner can sell it. The owner can gift it. The owner can transfer it. The notable exception, however, is our case under review, where a husband is only the kinyan aperos, and yet Takanas Usha gave him a bump. And that he now is considered a lokeach rishon, and so therefore, in the event that his wife dies, even though she wrote it to somebody else, but when he married her, he now is placed first in line. When she dies, he can go ahead and claim ownership of the asset.